Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Blame It on Marketing with Emma and Ruta. And this time we are talking about your marketing tech stack, or maybe it's the lack of marketing tech stack, or maybe you've got too much tech. Who knows? But we are going to get into that today with our guest, Jade. Over to you, Jade. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. I am Jade Falconbridge. I'm the CEO and founder of Attributed Marketing, which is a marketing operations consultancy based in the UK. And I help medium to large size businesses be more effective, more efficient with their marketing. And that's by looking at what they've already got. So, you know, the headcount they've already got, the resources, the budget that they've already got. You know, how do they do more with everything already?
Absolutely. When we were talking about doing this episode, I was like, I'm so surprised we haven't spoken about this yet. Obviously, I'm sure there's lots of topics we haven't spoken about, but I feel like marketing tech, marketing ops are kind of quite close to heart for me and Emma. So I was surprised that we haven't covered it yet. But I guess let's talk about the importance of doing an episode about this and why it's a conversation that we should be having as marketers.
Yeah, so I think for me, you're either probably in one of two camps with this. You either understand marketing operations, you understand what it is, the importance, or you have never really heard of it, or you just not bought into it, you don't get, you know, why you should be doing it. Now, before I really understood what it was, so we're going back maybe 5-6 years ago, I remember walking into a business and there was a guy there who was a marketing operations coordinator or something along those lines. And I remember having a conversation with him and I said, what is your job title? Like, is that a real job title? Or, you know, what does it mean? Marketing operations. And, you know, he was quite patient with me. He explained everything that went on. You know, it's the data, tech, processes, you know, upskilling people. And I remember after that conversation, I had this kind of like light bulb moment where I thought, why do we not do this more often? Why do we not talk about actually, how do we make stuff more effective and efficient in the background? And I think for me, the difference was that I was coming from small to medium businesses, going into a large global organization where, you know, everything's bigger, everything's 10 times faster, more campaigns, more people, more priorities, everything's a priority. And actually, you need somebody to take a step back and actually think, what should we be prioritizing? Why are we doing this? How do we do it to the best of our ability? How do we actually get value out of, you know, all the resources that we've got? And I think that for me sums up the importance of marketing operations. And it's not necessarily just about the tech, but it's actually having somebody who's looking at everything from a holistic perspective and really understanding what's happening where and why.
Absolutely. I think that bit sometimes is missing. I've met a lot of I wouldn't say a lot of marketers, but I'd say a lot of founders or people steering the marketing team that think that they can fix everything with tech without actually understanding that you then need a person to make it all work, to look after it, to optimize it, because it's good and great buying a piece of tech or introducing a new process. But if there's no one to manage it and to actually make the most out of it, you're just spending a bunch of money on tech that you're not really going to be getting much out of. So I think for me, like that side of things is really apparent. What about you, Emma?
Yeah, I think it's that, like, also not just as I'm going to slag marketers off now, we get attracted to the shiny new toy, right? Very easily. So we're always looking at, and good marketers should be doing this, right? We should always be looking at what is the latest solution out there that can help us do our job better, that can streamline things, that can help us do, because that's the challenge that we've all got, right? It's like, you've got to just do more and more and more and more and more with probably less and less and less. And so obviously lots of the time we look to tech solutions, especially at the moment with all of the like AI stuff that's happening, we're always looking to that to do more. But then the problem is, and Jade, I'm sure you've seen this so many times, it's all disconnected, it's disjointed, you've got underutilized pieces of tech, you've got maybe it's not even that it's underutilized, maybe you just haven't even got the right level of tech. I've seen that before where it's like, actually, you guys need to be on the enterprise solution and you're not. And sometimes you just have to accept it and bite the bullet, but there's like resistance to that. One of the things I'm really interested in, Jade, from your perspective, is like what happens to and yours as well, Ruta, obviously. What happens to marketing teams? No, I don't, Ruta, don't talk. What happens to marketing teams when they have loads of tech solutions that aren't connected and they have more people than tech? What's that like?
So this is a really common problem. So regardless of the size of the business that you're in, so you've got your small fintech startup people who, you know, 2-3 years they've been looking at that growth trajectory, trying to get more leads, more business, and they have a problem where they've been focusing so much on that growth that actually, you know, if you've got a gap and you need to get a new bit of tech in, they're probably pulling it in, and somebody over here is pulling something else in. And I was actually talking to a company a couple of weeks ago, and they've had this very same issue where they're now looking and they're going to have to start rolling stuff back. So they've got a marketing team that's got an enterprise piece of kit. They've got a sales team that's got an enterprise piece of kit. None of them talk to each other. None of them have been set up correctly. So somebody within the business decided that actually the problem is the two pieces of the kit, they don't do what they need to do. So then they bought a third piece of kit. So now none of these things are working together. And, you know, there's really simple things. They've got no attribution. They don't know what's happening. The company is saying we need to be more effective, more efficient with our marketing, but they don't know how to do that. So they're rolling stuff back because ultimately nobody's thought about that strategy. They've just bought stuff for the sake of it, for that tiny little thing that it fixes. When actually, if you engage somebody that knows that, you probably only need one of those pieces of kit and it does everything that they need to do. So you've got that issue where you're so focused on something else that you're not necessarily looking at the overall picture. But then you've got it on the other end of the scale where you've got those global corps and, you know, maybe they've been going 30, 50 years and they've got massive different departments, different silos, and each different team has got a different piece of kit, different piece of tech, different processes, different data sets, and nothing works together. So there's another company that I was talking to, and this is, you know, I've experienced this myself, but they were, the marketer there was very much trying to be more transparent, get sales on board, get them excited about the work that they were doing. So they said, okay, we're going to run this campaign. We've got all this segment. Here's all the data sales. You know, I can show you these are the people we're going to, why we're going to them, the territory, you know, the salesperson next to them. And the sales team actually came back and said, this data's rubbish. You know, there's 20, 25% of it that's not correct. You know, they're not actually the client anymore. They're not in the right company. They're not actually my salesperson. We don't talk to them. We can't sell to them. And the issue was that the marketing team were using different data, different technology than what the sales team were using, and the sales team were getting that data from a different company, a different team in a different part of the company, and none of it was connected. So you can just imagine the complications and the ambiguity, and that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help sales, it doesn't help marketing, it's just really, really complex. So it's really important for me that you actually, it's taking a step back, and it's not just about marketing technology, it's actually how does marketing technology interact with all the other areas of business, and how does that actually make it effective for everybody else?
And I think that's a really good point, Jade, because I think one of the things that I've always wanted to see and never actually managed to see in my entire marketing career is a business that actually has their customer success, their sales and their marketing data, and in an ideal world, even product usage information all feeding seamlessly into one system. I mean, my God, if that day comes, I will probably die. I'll drop dead with the shock.
You have seen everything.
I have done. I am going home. I have done marketing. My life is complete. But really, you know, that for me is like the ideal state. One of the things that sprung to mind actually while we were talking about what happens to marketing teams, Jade, while we were discussing this, is personal preference, right? So some of the businesses I've been into or worked in, you know, like you get a new head of marketing or a new head of sales and they go, do you know what? We don't want to use HubSpot. We're going to use Salesforce. So we're just going to rip HubSpot out. and we're going to put Salesforce in because I like it better. No real reason or need to do that. And
hasn't
then we're
going to HubSpot in about 12 years, but
so
know.
Doesn't. No bias there, Rita. No bias.
Sorry, I'm
so...
really salty. Like, how dare you take HubSpot out? No, is this hypothetical? No.
So, what do you do, or you get that situation, Jade, where, like, for example, you're saying, you know, there's two systems. You know, I've worked in a business where there was Salesforce and HubSpot, and therefore getting them to join up just purely because a sales leader didn't want to use HubSpot. That was literally the only reason for it. What can you actually do about that? So, like, if you're a marketer and you're going, please, please don't do that. Is there anything that you can do? Because, you know, that's a really tricky situation because you're basically just managing someone's personal preferences at that point.
That's stakeholder management, isn't it? It's not really about the technology itself. It is about that individual's belief. But so one of the stats that I came across recently is that only 29% of all businesses use more than 75% of their technology's capabilities, which is incredible. Like, you know, there's only a third of people that are using more than two-thirds of their tech. So I think for me, it's about, there needs to be questions of why are you trying to take HubSpot away from us? Like, why do you think Salesforce is better? Why are we going to go through this probably 18 months, 2 year transformation of moving from one piece to another, you know, go through all this turmoil, go through all these issues without really understanding what that benefit is going to be? Because if it's, you know, I don't know, they don't have visibility on X, you might be able to deliver that in a slightly different way using the same technology. So actually, is their understanding of the technology the thing that's the issue? Or is it that they just only know how to use Salesforce and it's an upskilling issue? I think there's probably a lot more questions that need to be answered there. And, you know, sometimes you're going to lose that battle. Sometimes it, you know, comes from the top and you have to roll with the punches and just, you know, hope that they don't bring in Pardot and they bring in Salesforce. Marketing Cloud is dead, but it's, you know.
No,
it's
bias on this podcast whatsoever.
No.
But it brings me back to that point, right, of you need to have somebody that knows quite deeply all of this tech, right? Because, like, if somebody wants to use X for Y, you need to know how that matches to whatever platform that you might be wanting to use instead, right? So it is a deep product knowledge. And, like, you know, I call myself a HubSpot nerd, but, like, it, without it, you kind of don't know what's possible and you don't know how to combat these conversations, which brings me back to, you know, why isn't marketing ops a prioritized role in companies, or at least not a very well-defined part of somebody's role? Because, for example, me and Emma, we've done marketing ops without ever thinking that it's marketing ops, and we quite enjoy it, but it's never a part of our role, you know, it's just something that we do.
And I think when you actually set aside some time for an individual to actually look at all of that and start prioritizing, you know, how do you make things better? So the example that I've got in my head is when I was first put in charge of marketing ops at my last role, one of my priorities was, okay, everyone wants a bit more budget. Everyone's going to ask for more. It's very unlikely you're going to get it. So I started looking internally and I think, how do I get more budget from what we've already got? And I realized that, you know, like contract renewals, they'd always just rolled over, and nobody's actually looked at all of the technology across the business, you know, across the business in the UK, all the different teams, but equally across the different regions as well. So within that global org, you know, what are they using in Australia or in Canada? Are we using the same technology? What resources can we share? And actually having the space to look at all that and really dig into that, it maybe took, let's say, 2-3 months for me to really look at it. But in those 2-3 months, for one piece of tech, I saved 100K on that contract renewal. Now, can you imagine going to your business and going, I want an extra 100K marketing budget? The answer is going to be no. But actually, we're just reprioritizing and moving that money around. So we kept it. We just put it into something more effective and more efficient. And for me, it's having somebody who's able to look at that and be pragmatic about how they're approaching it. So it's not necessarily just about getting more and more and more at the top. It's actually, how are you doing things better?
Hi, Marketing Gang. We want to say a big thank you to our sponsor, Dealfront. Did you know Dealfront are the creators of a lead gen game changer, Leadfeeder?
We're so over sales blaming marketing for not delivering high quality leads with actual intent. Well, those days are behind us with Leadfeeder. You'll have the power to identify companies visiting your website, track their behavior in real time, and seamlessly integrate it all within your CRM.
So why would you choose Leadfeeder? It has the ability to provide detailed insights into visitor behavior, helps your sales team prioritize efforts and close deals faster with customizable notifications and lead scoring. And guess what? It's GDPR compliant too. Leadfeeder is here helping sales and marketing become efficient revenue generating teams.
Want real sales and marketing alignment? Head over to leadfeeder.com. That's LEADFEEDER.com.
So you mentioned there one of the key benefits is potentially saving yourself some cash, which we all love. especially as marketers, we're like, yeah, give us that back and we'll put it somewhere else. What are some of the other benefits?
Ads.
Yeah, cool. we wouldn't, by the way, don't take our money away. What are some of the other benefits of bringing all of your kind of all of your tech stack together? Surely there's got to be some insights and some data that we're all missing as a result. I mean, we all know this, right? There's definitely stuff we're missing. But Jade, love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, and I think, so again, every time I'm talking about this, I'm talking about not just the marketing piece, because I think it's really important that we don't automatically silo ourselves into just that marketing tech stack. So I think if you're thinking beyond marketing and you're thinking, you know, how is that whole customer journey connected. So I think, Emmy, you mentioned that you've got your market insight, your voice of customer, your feedback. How is that data then fed into your marketing campaigns? How does that affect your marketing campaigns? When somebody then goes onto the pipeline, like how is that then moving across into that technology? Once it then goes into client management, contract renewal, like how are you then getting that data? So there's realistically, there are probably loads of different pieces of tech. So how are they all connected together? But equally, what do the processes look like there? So if you're, there's things like if somebody requests a demo or a callback from sales on your website, so a pure marketing request, how are you as marketers looking at that and qualifying that, knowing who to send it to from a salesperson? How are you sending it to them? Is it automated? What happens if it doesn't get picked up? What happens if it's not ready yet to go anywhere? Does it go back into the nurture campaign? So there's all those things that you can't do if you're only looking at what your tiny little bit. Like there's so much integration and flow and, you know, end user customer journey that needs to be thought into that. Like it's an end-to-end piece. So I think for me, understanding how you bring all that together and then use that data to better your marketing, but then also use the marketing data that you have to better everybody else's. So better the sales process, better that client experience, better the customer experience, products, feedback, etc. So I think for me, that is single customer view, isn't it? Can you get a full view of what that customer in their entire life cycle has done? And the wealth of information that is in there would just be absolutely phenomenal.
The world that we all want to live in, Jade.
You know what?
We talk a lot about sales and marketing alignment, right? And if the data isn't there, like how the fuck are we even going to start to try and do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've worked for one company in like 12 odd years that has actually put this first. So they built their own MarTech stack. So they actually started it from an individual CRM system, and it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the amount of data that you can get in that system is absolutely incredible. And, you know, they were a tiny, small, like medium-sized business. But whenever I look at all of the stuff that, you know, these global corps have got, I get so jealous of that. I'm like, can we not just bring that into here? Because you don't know what you're missing. You don't know the wealth of data that is there for you.
So when you're thinking about we kind of touched on this a little bit, kind of looking at all the systems, making sure that you're working through the entire customer lifetime journey. But if you are going into a fresh business like you are now, what are the kind of top, let's say, three things that you look at first and kind of maybe check off or investigate just to kick off that process?
So there's one main thing. I think there's loads of things that fall into this, but it's around understanding what they've got. So it's doing that full audit. It's that full analysis. And for me, that's looking at the data. So where does it sit? Who uses it? What data have you got? What's missing? The technology. So again, you know, everything we've already discussed. The processes. So do you actually have anything? Is it documented? Is it being used? So all of those things. Oh, and your people as well. So actually, do you have the right people? Are they skilled enough? Do you need to upskill them? Do they know what they're doing? So looking at all of those things, figuring out what are you doing well? And then also what your gaps are, and then where do you want to get to? And then how do you start filling those things in? And I think really you can't do anything if you don't know what your current state of play is, and you can't get to that end goal if you don't know what that gap analysis is either. So I think it's a lot about that introspective view and really, you know, documenting this is everything that we need to do. And some businesses sit there and they go, it's all right, I know everything that's wrong. I know everything we want to do. But then they're still not getting any further forward because they either haven't documented it, they haven't put it into any form of plan or roadmap or prioritization. They just, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong. And then that's kind of where it ends. So it's actually, you know, identifying it and then finding those solutions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've all worked at companies where basically, you know, you go in and it's like you're just patching on top of patching on top of patching. And you're like, I'm really scared. It's that game. Did you ever used to play that game, Kaplunk, where you like have the marbles in the top and you pull the thing out and all the marbles fall and you're like, oh, shit. That's basically the game that we're all playing with our tech
stacks.
One
more layer of Zapier will break everything. You know, you're just waiting for that day to come.
It's going to come. And that does make it really difficult, right? Because then it does fall down the priorities. I mean, I worked at a company once where basically I decided myself as head of marketing to just make it a priority to get access, because we weren't even really reporting. And it was driven by the fact that we weren't reporting from a marketing perspective on the right stuff. Like, we weren't talking about marketing performance. We were talking about vanity metrics. And so that drove me to be like, right, now I need to go in here and fix all of this stuff, because otherwise we're never going to get at it. So that's where I've come from an ops perspective. It's always, and Ruta, it might be very similar for you, it's always been about how do I get at the data I need rather than looking at the customer journey. So I'm just wondering, Jade, from your point of view, like if someone, especially in smaller businesses where maybe marketing ops falls down the list, or we know that we need to fix stuff to get access to the data, where would you begin if you, let's say we can't have a Jade for some reason, we can't have a lovely marketing ops person come in and help us and save us. Where would you start if you're listening to this going, oh shit, I've got to fix all my stuff?
So interestingly, I fell into marketing ops in the exact same way. So when I started at Equifax 5 odd years ago, I was hired as a product marketing manager. But when I went in, I was like, oh, what's happening with our campaigns? You know, where do the leads go? And everyone was a bit like, not really sure. So then
that's always good, isn't it?
So as a data-driven marketer, I was like, okay, this isn't good. We need to start, you know, understanding what's happening, where things are going, you know, are we successful? Are we actually getting any value or delivering value from what we're doing? So I started doing it side of desk, like very simply, you know, asking people to put UTM tracking on all the campaigns that they were doing, figuring out who was getting the leads, figuring out what those conversion rates were. And after, let's say, I don't know, 6 to 9 months, the business started paying attention, because we were then putting out reports that, you know, these are the leads that we're driving, this is how much we're spending, this is the conversion rates, etc. So we were moving away from those vanity metrics. And then it took a while, but maybe 2 years after I first started at that business, so a year later from it getting noticed, that's when the request was to actually start looking at this seriously. So that's when I moved into that ops role and then started building out my team. But the point of the story is that if you just go to the business and go, we've not got all this. And in order to get all that, we need to start looking at operations. We need person A, person B, whatever. The answer is probably going to be no. So you need to start at the beginning and actually start showing that value. So start showing what marketing is doing. When the request for more comes in, you go, okay, well, just so you know, this is side of desk. Like, this is not my role. If you want that, if you want more analysis, you want more dashboards, we need to start investing in that type of area. And hopefully businesses will realize it, because you're showing that value and you're showing, you know, if there's a growth potential, this is what we need to be doing. But if you're, so there's going to be some people listening to this and they go, okay, yeah, sounds great, but no, I'm a 3-person team, I haven't got time, we've not got the right people, they just don't have the right skill set or ambition to do that type of stuff, then I would look at how you start reprioritizing stuff. So is it that for the short term, you look at getting external support in for 3 months, 4 months, whatever that might be, you know, move some of your budget from your ads, prove that value, and then use that value to then have that conversation and get that buy-in even further. So it's, you know, it's that short-term extra time and resource, but how does that affect you and your long-term goals?
Mm. I think as well, it's worth looking out externally outside of the marketing team to see if there's someone that has the aptitude to do that ops bit, because there might be somebody in sales or CS or maybe even in product that is kind of maybe already doing parts of that and is interested in that. So it could also be another way of getting some of that resource if in the marketing team that's just not kind of the skill set that's there already.
Yeah, make best friends with your sales ops, your rev ops, like client ops, whoever it might be that actually has that type of skill set. Yeah, absolutely.
Or whoever just busts out spreadsheets on a regular with really great graphs in there, that's your person. That is the person, that's the one. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for reaching out to us to talk about this topic. It's great, and I think it's going to spark off a lot of conversations. I definitely feel like I need to get my shit together. You know when you have those podcasts, Emma, when you leave and you're like, oof, I need to go look at some stuff. So thank you for that. We hope to see you on blameitonmarketing.com. Jade is actually already a member there, so if you want to ask us some sneaky questions, you can find her there. And we'll see you on the next episode.